Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online, downloadable audio business interviews. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Know If Mobile Marketing is Right for Your Business, a realistic guide to the costs and the benefits. Mobile marketing is still in its infancy, and because it's predicted to be huge, everyone wants to get in on the ground floor. But the big question is, who's making money off of it and how? Each text message costs money, and if you're looking at a long list of customers, those messages will add up quickly. So in this audio, you'll hear all about the realistic side of mobile marketing from an expert who admits that nobody is really making any money off of it yet. But that will probably change in the future. So he says you may want to get yourself educated and ready right now, and this audio will help you do that. You'll also hear where mobile marketing is today, where it's headed, and what that means to you. You'll learn technical terms explained. What is a 3G or 4G network, short message service, SMS, multimedia service, MMS, keyword shared service, and how they all work together. You'll learn what SMS aggregators are, how much they charge, and why you need to go through them in mobile marketing. You'll learn examples of specific mobile marketing campaigns that are working and some possibilities for the future. You'll learn all about the barriers that may prevent you from diving in full force, including the limited battery life of phones, limited power consumption needed for integration, downloading restrictions, and more. You'll learn how to get value from your text messaging, the kind of information you can collect when someone text messages you, and how to use texting to track your marketing campaigns with almost 100% accuracy. You'll learn how to combine your email with your phone to cut the cost of mobile marketing promotions. In some ways, companies are already getting around costly carrier billing. There's a lot of hype around mobile marketing right now. Everyone wants it to be the next best thing. And although there are indicators that it's headed in that direction, there's also a lot of barriers that prevent any real money making today. And this audio will give you a realistic inside look at this new media platform, along with some tips and tricks on how businesses are making the most of it right now. Now let's get going. How big is this mobile marketing going to be? Is it going to be as huge as she says it is?
I think it's going to be that big, if not even bigger. It's all going to go that way because everyone has the phones with them at all times. It's a more in-touch media. And right now, a lot of big companies are kind of stalled on where they want to go. We've got a lot of meetings with big companies. I mean, I could say, like, we had a meeting with Universal Music Group and even Sony BMG. Those two companies, they want to get in the space, and I almost see a repeat of what's happening before. They're hesitating like they did with the Internet, and then they all partnered with iTunes. And now iTunes has all this power. Well, the kind of the same thing is going on as well, is they're a little hesitant to get into the technology because it's new, which is usually adopted by the smaller people, you know, early adapters anyway. But because they're hesitating, they're in a position where they've been working with this company, Moses.
What is Moses?
Moses is kind of like a mobile iTunes, so to say.
Moses, like Moses part of the Red Sea, Moses?
Yeah, I think it's Moses.com. Moses, I'm not even sure, actually.
Okay, I'll check it out.
They're doing the same thing now. They're partnering with a company like that, and they're really giving them all the power instead of having their own networks, which later on everyone realized that they needed their own website. They needed their own email. They needed everything all on their own. I mean, they're trying to get out of these iTunes deals, and here they are on the mobile side, kind of going right into it.
So a lot of these big music groups are locked in with iTunes, with contracts and stuff?
From what I understand, iTunes controls a lot of that now. I mean, they're taking a big amount of the profit. They have the big distribution online. Even a company like Rhapsody, too, though. I mean, they're all sharing. Those companies try to start their own called Urge. I don't know if you heard of it. It was supposed to be for your mobile MP3 device or whatever, and it never really took off. So kind of like a repeat of what happened on the Internet, but in a different way.
Well, according to the numbers I was hearing with the other expert, do you know the stats on how many people are carrying mobile phones that access the internet now? And what do you see 5 years from now with these smartphones? I think they're going to be like little vending machines. They'll practically give the phones away for free.
Oh, I think so. I think there's been programs where they've tried to do that already, get phones away for free in exchange for listening to ads before you make a call and stuff like that. I've heard of that in other countries. 5 years from now, yes, everyone's going to have mobile internet. And I agree with a lot of where it's going to go in the far-off future. The problem is there's going to be a staggered, it might even be like 10 years before everyone's really using the mobile internet. I still feel text messaging and the multimedia messaging, which isn't even available yet on a commercial basis, that's where I feel it's going to really stay popular and pertinent, just as email is today, and simple things like RSS. These simple instant delivery methods, that's where I feel it's going to keep going. The mobile web, it's still going to be limited, even though you'll be able to do Flash on your phone soon, which most phones can't do. Like, they can play YouTube, but they can't do Flash videos yet. That's all going to come out, but then a lot of that's going to come down to power consumption, and that's one of the biggest problems with these mobile devices, is when you're doing all this interactive stuff on the phone, and you're on a website, and it's doing all these different things on your phone, that's eating your battery life. You know, they've working on like hydrogen fuel cell technology and stuff, but it's not stable yet. So until that's really come around, the mobile web, I think, is going to have a little bit of a staggered with the high interactivity you see on the internet today.
So what do you do now? What's your involvement with mobile? Where are you really sitting on the inside of this whole thing?
I run a company called Sumi Communications, and that's a company where we specialize in mobile, but mostly text messaging, like I said, interactive text messaging, more to be specific.
For Neophyte, what is text messaging?
The text messaging, or it's called SMS, which stands for Short Message Service, is just the way to send messages from phone to phone. Even back maybe 7 years ago, you could only do inter-network text messaging. So I remember OmniPoint, which turned into T-Mobile later, but you could only text message people on OmniPoint. And the same thing with Verizon. It was only network to network. It only became a standard a few years ago, which is when it started exploding.
What was the change that made it a standard where it was the ability to text outer network?
Well, the problem is, like in the U.S., the carriers don't play as nice as they do in Europe yet. In Europe, they understand that they need to have some sort of standardization across networks, not necessarily the type of network, but for messaging and communication methods, you do, and the U.S. is really behind in that. So you can't even do MMS messaging from a short code. That's not even possible here when that's been going on for years out in Europe.
What's MMS?
MMS is multimedia messaging. Like when you take a video on your phone or take a picture and send it to someone, not via email. So like the iPhone right now, the big stink was it didn't do MMS. But the thing is, the carriers don't really even support it as much on a commercial basis yet, and that's all going to start rolling out very soon.
Who leads in this? I mean, Japan, Europe, how far ahead are these other countries compared to us?
I would really lean with Japan. Companies like NTT Docomo and I forget the other carrier out there, but they've been doing some crazy stuff. They've had video on the phone for years now. You have to understand that in Europe, it's a GSM. It all started out as like a GSM network, which is where those SIM cards come in. And then there's a whole other different type of network called the CDMA networks, which is like Verizon. And so you have T-Mobile and AT&T, which started off as GSM networks.
What is GSM?
It's basically two different technologies of transmitting data over wireless. CDMA is more expensive and was a later developed technology, as far as I know, but it's more powerful. That's why Verizon has the best network, because they're running a very advanced CDMA network, which in the long run really is stronger than the 3G that AT&T and all these other companies are running, just because it's just a better technology, I feel.
All right, so when you see all the commercials and you see 3G network and 4G network, what are they referring to?
A lot of it's buzz. Really, with the 3G network, where the GSM started, was actually called UMTS, which, again, I forget what that stands for. But UMTS is the stage after Edge. So if you had AT&T, you had GSM, then you notice your phone might have said GPRS Edge, and then a few years later, it says 3G now. It's really called a UMTS network. The Verizon phone, it's a much simpler upgrade, although the network was more expensive. So when you said Japan, like, they have such a small area. And for them to keep upgrading the network was very simple, and they're running CDMA, so they probably have one of the most advanced CDMA networks in the world. The speeds on their phones, I don't even know for sure, but I'm sure they're way higher than we're getting here on 3G.
All right, so paint me a picture. What are people doing every day with their phones in Japan? I could say, hey, Jeffrey, check out this video, and I could text it to you, and you could see streaming video right on the phone, no problem?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're doing a lot of TV stuff. I have the Google phone, the G1. I get streaming video on there. Some guy developed an app, and I think they're streaming it all the way from China. It's an open market. And the funny thing is that the iPhone isn't even that popular out in Japan because it's too simple. They like complex gadgets. It's the Americans that are behind that want the big buttons and all the Web 2.0 razzle-dazzle. When you have these people in Japan, they don't even care who made the device. But the more complex and the more crazy stuff you can do, that's the kind of culture they're in. You know, the difference between that and America, I don't know if we'll ever get there. They're really into being very unique, and the technology there is, like I said, they don't really care what device it is. And that's why the iPhone doesn't really sell out there, because it's kind of simple.
Well, I think we need it simple here for people who are...
Well, exactly, yes.
What's some cool stuff they can do with their phones that we can't do? Anything you know of?
Offhand, I don't know too much. I mean, I'm not sure that they can do Flash It, but the speeds are much more. I know they do constant MMS. They do a lot of e-books over MMS, because MMS, which is the multimedia messaging, is not only capable of sending videos and photos, but it can send up to 999 characters. So a standard text message sends 160 characters, where MMS now is a whole lot more of text you can put in there, so people are doing these e-books that they send out on a weekly basis.
SMS is short. You're limited to a short amount of text by sending that, and you can't send pictures and media with the SMS, right?
That's right.
Okay, and the MMS is the same thing, but it allows you more characters and allows you to send files, media.
Even sometimes allows you somewhat of a markup language. So I think you can bold and stuff like that, do a certain MMS templates, you know, animated GIFs. That's why when they're thinking the next step is mobile web, when MMS has so much functionality. And like the stuff that we do at Tsumi Communications is more like an interactive concept. So when you text in something to a short code, it's like you're talking to that short code. The code texts you something back. You can request something from it. It'll send you back. It's kind of like what the company ChaCha Mobile is doing, where you text them a question, they send you an ad and then text you the answer back. Or KGB charges you $1, where you text them a question, then they text you back. Usually they have humans that are working there. They have a call center that they're doing. We developed a system, really, where you can kind of set up your own campaign ahead of time, almost like a voice response system.
So KGB.com, is it KGB? KGB
have commercials where they're always talking about people getting brain freeze because they can't remember how to make a special drink.
I haven't
or
even
something.
Seen that. Okay, so anyone with a mobile device, if they want an answer, because it's kind of difficult going on the web when you have your mobile phone, you could just text this service with a question and they'll send it back.
And they'll send it back and charge you $1.
And what is that, KGB.com?
Actually, the code is KGB, KGB. So
oh,
you would text your question to KGB, KGB.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. It's built on your cell phone.
That's correct. And then there's a free one called ChaCha, C-H-A-C-H-A. What they do is you text a question in, they text an ad to you, and then they text the response. But that's a free service that does the same thing.
But it's a free service, but also if I have a text package and I'm paying, you know, $5 for 200 texts, that uses up my text, one going in
that's
and
correct.
One going in. This is what I wanted to know, because I don't have a text package, because I don't understand why I need one. I just got my BlackBerry Storm, and I've been playing around with it for the last 3 months, and I love it. But I'm like, why do I need a text? Because I can just send an attachment with my email for free. So, you know, when someone says, why do I need text when I have email? Because that's basically what I'm doing. I'm using the phone for email and then using it as a phone and stuff.
But even the thing with the BlackBerry, it still is only querying that email maybe every 10, 15 minutes when a text message is instant.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.
I see. It's the instantness of it.
I mean, all the BlackBerries are run by RIM. You ever notice when BlackBerry goes down, everyone on every network goes down because the whole email system is outsourced to RIM.
Who is RIM? No, tell us about it.
RIM is Research in Motion. They're the creators of the first BlackBerry devices and the BlackBerry network. And what it is all the carriers basically outsource the BlackBerry service to RIM. In the past, they've tried to handle it, but RIM does it for everyone. Basically, it's a separate service that they're running for
the
carrier.
So when email goes down for the BlackBerry, it's going down for who else?
It probably goes down for everyone on every carrier that has a BlackBerry in those outage areas.
Okay, is RIM only handling BlackBerry?
As far as I know, RIM only handles the BlackBerry email, yes.
Okay, so who's another big player? Who's handling AT&T's emails?
As far as I know, with BlackBerry, they're the only ones. When you talk about the emails locally, AT&T might be handling that in-house. I just know that RIM is per se outsourced.
All right, so this is totally different than SMS, right? Why is the email network different than SMS?
Well, it's not that it's so much different. It's just that SMS is instant for delivery methods on your phone. It's not going to pop up and like grab your attention. When you get a text message on any phone, it's designed to pop up in a certain fashion, so you notice it. If you have email on that phone, you're just maybe going to get that little email icon on the top right. You know, it's going to be more powerful when it comes in. And the last thing you talked about, checking text messages, and it's true. People always check text messages. However, if they have to keep going back to a mobile website, that's a lot different. And not only would text messaging go away, the mix between the two is you'd probably want to have both anyway because you want to keep sending people text with links to your mobile website to keep them coming back to the mobile website. So hopefully they bookmark it.
Okay, got it. So now I understand the texting is the instantness of it, and it grabs the attention, and everybody reads their text currently.
Works on every phone, on every network. You can buy a very base phone that might not have a web browser. And there are a huge percentage of people that still don't use mobile web. But compared to the amount of people that use text messaging, it's enormous. I just see it replacing email. Once MMS is a standard and everyone has mobile devices, would you really be typing more than 1,000 characters in one email? It's kind of rare. And when they even developed the standard for text messaging, my partner just shared this with me the other day, and they could have done a few more characters, but they actually went around to all these specialists and they did a study on what could be said in the smallest amount of characters, and they came up with that number, 160. It wasn't just pulled out of nowhere. It was actually done with research.
It forces people to be succinct, too.
Yeah, and they just went around and figured what were some of the most common sayings and small discussions that people had. And everyone pretty much came around to the count of 160. And at that time, that was able to be handled by the network.
All right. Now, I kind of interrupted you. So take me back and draw me a picture of what you guys do there.
We've developed really a Sumitex platform is what it is.
What does that
and
mean?
This platform is almost like a wizard. So think about it. If you had a text campaign where you texted a word in for pizza to some code.
Give me an example. You got to understand, you got a lot of people who don't know what a text campaign is. Tell me a real example of one.
Okay, let's talk about, like, say you were going to a concert. And when you got to the concert, it says, for concert info, text in band name to this code. Now, when you text that in, you get an instant reply message with a predetermined menu saying, you want information about show times, you can respond with one. Do you want information about, you know, restrooms, two, free stuff, you can respond three. And if it was on four, maybe it could be like send a photo in that we can put up on a board at the show somewhere. So it's kind of like a voice response system. Instead of pressing 1, 2, 3, or 4 on your phone, you can actually respond to the system. And on the back end, there's a whole matrix where you would actually predetermine all these responses.
Wow. And that's all through text?
All through text messaging. So it's basically online. It's kind of like a matrix of boxes that you go through. We have 8 different message types. We have like a menu message, a message with a reply, a collecting data message, all these different conceptual messages we came up with where you can then put them together like a puzzle and build out pretty much whatever you wanted. And this is what we do, yes.
Is anyone doing anything like this?
There are companies that are doing text messaging like 4Info where you can set up a campaign with maybe 1 or 2 replies. There really aren't any companies that have a very in-depth system.
All right, so let me ask you this. I go to the concert, and I want more information. So I text the code that counts as one text. Then your menu comes back to me. Does it come as a text menu?
It comes as a text message.
So when it says 1, 2, 3, or 4, what am I doing? Am I texting back the number?
Exactly. So you'd reply with 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, our system's designed to grab anything, the name or whatever, either or. Do you reply with 1, 1 space, the show times, just show times? We have a system designed to really handle, it's got a lot of error correction is what I'm saying.
All right, but every time I respond, that counts as another text?
That's right. So basically every time you text in the system, you probably receive one back. So it's pretty much 2 texts every time you'd interact.
Okay. And how is that going for you guys?
It's going good. I mean, we set up a few small companies. And I showed you the example of TSB Magazine where it's just a simple text message list. And you can text in, it texts you back a little link referring you to our site, which is also mobile, so it detects your phone.
Look, I've got a website that delivers audio content, and I'm racking my brain because I know when I'm emailing my list, I know how many people are responding through their mobile phone because they haven't changed the signature. You see, it's coming from their iPhones and their Blackberries, and I know even from the other interview, and I know from my experience of using my phone, people are checking their email, and they would love to go to the internet on their mobile phone, but there's nothing compatible. So I want to know what's the best way for me, and I think I've figured out a solution using WordPress to be able to send someone to a website that works on a mobile phone. And I do have another question I want to pick your brain. I would love to know, is there a play button? Like if I emailed you a link to a web page, I want to see a play button that would show up that they could press and that it would stream audio through the web. I was looking to see if there is a mobile play button that would be somewhat universal or any kind of application for that.
The first question about the WordPress, what are you using, WordPress Mobile? Andy Moore plugin?
I don't even have the mobile plugin, but I have a WordPress blog. I don't know much about it yet.
Yeah, I think there's a great plugin out by some guy called Andy Moore. I've been following him for a while. It's called WordPress Mobile. I think it's wordpressmobile.org or wordpressmobile.mobi. They have his own site for it. It takes any WordPress blog and instantly converts it. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It looks beautiful on small devices. You can make it look normal on the iPhone and the other because they have full browsers, even an option. It recognizes the phone that's accessing it, shows the best possible way. It's great for commenting and everything. About the second question with the audio, the problem is you can't, unless you're using some sort of proprietary application on the phone, it's going to be hard to do. Your best bet right now would probably be going YouTube because most of the smartphones are designed to play YouTube. And that would be the best way, you know, putting like a picture over it or something. That's probably the best way to get it out the quickest.
Yeah, I did think of that. But, you know, my audios are sometimes an hour long.
Yeah.
YouTube is moving over to TV and stuff. So maybe they have options where you can load up, you know, whether it's AVI content that's just audio and screenshots. Maybe they're going to allow longer streaming content other than 10-minute clips.
It's possible. Now we're getting back to the phone battery consumption and all that stuff. We've done a lot of tests on sending text message links. So kind of like, you know, when you get a link from Twitter or something, and you can click it on your phone. But you can do that with any link, and we've done it with a lot of MP3s, and majority of networks will not let you download more than, say, 20 or 30 seconds worth on most phones.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
So if I sent you a link to an MP3 file up on my hardtofindseminars.com, now I've played around with it on my phone, and it's not too bad. Their little media player comes up, and the audio starts playing very quickly, the whole thing.
The problem is the download. You know, think about you get in trouble for downloading too much information on Comcast or Cablevision or whatever. These networks are very concerned about bandwidth because it's over the air. So we've noticed on almost every network in America, they're limiting you to maybe 300-400 kilobytes.
So you're saying if I start playing my MP3s over the internet through my mobile device, they're going to just cut it off?
First of all, I don't know if you can really stream it. With a smartphone app, things are different, is what I'm saying. Definitely. With any smartphone app, there are podcast directories that you can just sign up for that have apps already on the market.
All right, so let me pose this question to you. I got 250 hours of audio.
Okay.
Each one's about an hour long. I want to make it as easily and inexpensively and painlessly accessible for anyone who has a mobile device. How would you set it up? Just the site for mobile. They get a short description, what the audio is about, and a link to where it is. How would you set all that up?
Well, I mean, are you on iTunes, obviously, right?
Yeah, I'm on iTunes.
Right there, your mobile with all the iPhones and everything. They'll be able to download it and see it on the store. When you talk about, they want to look into other smartphones, what they're doing, but unless it's a smartphone, it's just not designed to do that. And even though you could load it locally on the phone and play it, streaming, it's a whole other issue.
Okay, but that's right. So I got to look to already the big players and using them, like iTunes and like YouTube.
You're going to be restricted on the network. Say everyone was trying to upload all these podcasts and then send them out on Twitter and people are downloading 20 meg podcasts, the wireless networks would crash. You know what I'm saying? It's not designed for that. Like I said, we try to push so many files through.
Oh, so you're saying this whole mobile network isn't set up for big files in data line?
No, that's why they have their own special Sprint TV and EVDO. They are highly regulated. It is not the Wild West like the internet. There is a huge barrier to entry into this space.
Let's say my recordings are all streaming from my website, my server, and they're all on iTunes, for instance. And let's say I've got 100,000 people on my list and 20,000 have mobile devices, and I send out a promotion that says, here's an hour-long MP3 file interview, and let's say a few thousand of them hit that link and start listening and streaming it from my server. Are they going to regulate that?
I'm not too familiar with the iPhone, but I don't even think that you could download something like that on AT&T's network.
Really?
I think you'd have to do it on Wi-Fi or, you know, load it onto your iPod, dock it.
I see. You were serious when you said it's a barricaded entry.
You have to really know your way around the space. You can be a marketer, and you can work with text, and MMS isn't even out yet. But even then, I mean, there are heavy costs involved. You pay it for every text message. But not even you, but I'm saying if I want to send out a text message to 500 people, I'm paying for every one of those 500 messages.
I know. It's very expensive. I looked into that. I was going to set up text message like autoresponder. But, you know, for the amount of people, it's like $500, $600 a month. And I think it includes a certain amount of text. You're right. So is that a barrier right now for marketers coming into the space?
I think it's a big barrier for the marketers. That's not even saying, like, having your own code, because people say, like, you can do these campaigns, and you probably looked at a service where you get a keyword for it, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So you get this keyword, and then you can do this one-off and back texting, but you wouldn't be able to do anything really interactive because they have to text that keyword before everything to reply back to you. So it's all set up so that if you wanted even your own code, now you're looking at, you know, pretty much anywhere from $1,500 to $3,000 a month without sending a message. To have your own code and really be interactive. The keyword you can do on a shared solution, but you're still paying per message costs, and you're just going to get a low monthly cost.
Right. Is it maybe a little early right now to take advantage of a cost-effective marketing campaign with people with mobile?
My strategy is I just tell people that you should set up the list and just start collecting.
What do you mean by that?
Because they say an email is worth, you know, quote-unquote, how much money per website.
Yeah.
What do you think a phone number is going to be worth?
Oh, I see. Set your list up and start collecting numbers.
Just start collecting. Do a one reply in. You know, like we set up lists for other companies where, you know, they'll text in a keyword, right? And then we'll just send them one text, thank you for the list. And, you know, even if we don't send them another text, people rarely change their phone numbers. If you start now and you're building this huge phone number list, that's probably going to be worth more than email lists in the future.
And it's an opt-in list because they ask to be on the list.
Exactly. And not only is it an opt-in list, but you might be able to get some of them to agree to you being able to call them through that. So now one day you send a message out to everyone saying, we'd like to call you about something, reply yes or whatever. Half them reply yes. Now you have a whole opt-in calling list instantly.
Right. I've got to set it up, though, with what? How would I do that?
There's a few different ways to go. I mean, there are services that will do it for you. I don't know how much information they'll give you. The thing is, you get a lot of information when someone text messages you. So when you text in that code, they know what carrier you're on. They know your phone number. There's a lot of data that you get. Like, so say when you have 5,000 followers on Twitter, you don't know anything. If Twitter shut down, you're done. But by getting all this data, as long as the company is letting you see the phone numbers and keep the phone numbers, then I would say it's okay. Basically, we do the same thing. We set up small systems like that for companies privately. Our system's a little more open, so in the future, they could immediately start doing the interactive stuff.
Okay, so if I came to you and I said, Jeffrey, can you set me up a system where I can start collecting mobile numbers from my existing email list? You could do that?
Yeah, basically we would choose some sort of keyword, set you up with some sort of system, depending, you know, if you wanted to go with your own vanity keyword and have your own unique code that's going to cost a lot of money. Some people might want just the basic cost of a vanity keyword is $1,000 a month. Having your own is $500 a month, I think you mentioned in the last interview. If you just want to do it and start collecting numbers, go with some sort of shared short code service or hire a company, you know, just to kind of do it for you or someone that's in the business to do it. They shouldn't be charging you an arm and a leg for it.
If I went with a shared short code service, explain what that means. How much ballpark would that cost me to get set up? And could I email out to my list and say, hey, I'm building a mobile phone database network, and if you have a mobile phone and you want, you know, any kind of specials from hardtofindseminars.com, get your cell phone or mobile phone and text this word. And then they do that, and then the shared short code company collects all that data, kind of like an autoresponder?
That's correct. The time and the carrier, the phone number.
Okay, and will they let me have all the data that comes with that other than the phone number?
I haven't done too much research into just the plain mailing list companies, but I don't see why they wouldn't. If you're paying for that key, like, 'cause usually they're charging you anywhere from $50 to $100 a month just to have the ability to do it, then it's $20 to $50 per keyword, and then you have to pay per message. We've gone with, you know, a development company where we buy the keywords and we develop software around it for the small companies that want the shared ones. That's what we do for them. You could hire your own developer and do it probably. You could also find a company that specializes in that, which there are a few. I'm not sure which they are, but I know there's like maybe one or two companies that would do it for you. When you're going with a company that's an all-in-one solution, though, you're probably going to pay more money. Higher per message costs. If you hire someone to build it for you, you're going to know the bare minimum because it's more of a development thing. You'll see exactly what they charge, the volume discounts, and everything like that.
All right, so let's say I did that and I was able to collect 5,000 mobile phone numbers that people opted in, and I've got 5,000 mobile numbers. And then I use that service just like an autoresponder, and I do a broadcast, a text broadcast, right?
Okay.
That's what you do, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what you could do, sure. You could start off with a broadcast since they're already opted in and giving them the option to text back. Say, you know what, we're doing a crazy pick contest. And you send out to your 5,000 people, and 5,000 take pictures with camera phones and send them right back to you. Better yet, you just have them send it to an email, then it doesn't even cost you anything on the back end, which is what every company does because you can't send MMS to a code. You can do a lot of receiving of interactive content through email from phones. So what you could do is you can send a huge text message blast out to your list telling them you want mobile videos and mobile pictures. Give them the email address, just like everyone uses for Flickr, YouTube, or whatever. And then you just have an email set up to receive all that content.
Or the other way around. Send an email, and it's no big deal if they don't receive it instantly. Send an email and say, we're running a contest, and then text back to me this. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the instant thing about the phone is it'd go right to their phone asking them for something mobile. You could send them an email, ask them to subscribe to the mobile list, and then once they did that, then you revert it to a text blast, I would think.
Tell me some examples of people in the mobile marketing space, whether it's big corporations, small companies. Tell me some examples of how people are making money with this SMS and MS. What is it? SMS and
MMS.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that no one's making money with this. I don't mean to be curt about it.
No, that's what I want to know.
That's why it's not taken off. The last interview where she said American Idol's raking in the dough from text messages, that's quite the opposite. If anyone's raking in the dough, it's AT&T because it's their network. But either they have a deal where they said they'll do the messages free for American Idol or American Idol is paying for them. I'm guessing they changed saying we'll run it for the advertising. But there's no way that American Idol is making money off those messages.
You're right. Did you watch American Idol?
No, actually I didn't. No.
Well, if you watched it, AT&T was all over the place. Camera shots where they did a lot of interviews right in front of AT&T stores. Absolutely, they've got deals going with AT&T. Now, I just got another email, and it was about an article that on American Idol, Alicia Keys, the singer, performed on the finale the other day. It said, Alicia Keys leveraged the powerful platform of American Idol to generate $450,000 in donations to her charitable organization, Keep a Child Alive. The amazing part is that she raised this money from $5 at a time from 90,000 people who text in to donate.
Okay, so for charity, yeah, definitely. But you know what? AT&T took half that money and pocketed it. That's what I'm pretty sure happened.
Of the $450,000.
Or as part of their donation, because like in the last interview, they take 50 to 60% of it right off the top.
I don't know how many people watch American Idol. It's got to be 20 million. And you got to do the numbers on that. First of all, Alicia Keys was performing a song. She was probably on the air for 4 or 5 minutes, and then 90,000 into whatever, 20 million. You got to do the numbers and see what kind of percentage that is and what that would cost for an advertiser.
No, it doesn't mean it was possible. You're right. You're completely correct. But a lot of people are struggling. All the companies want case studies for free. They want all the demos for free. They want to try everything for free because the big question is, where are we going to make money with it? VH1 does a lot of text message stuff where you can buy ringtones and stuff. I guess it doesn't really work, but they're doing something new with the reality show, I Love New York, where you text in her job, but they're charging you $1 to vote for it. I mean, they're struggling to find ways to make money with text messaging. They have to embrace it as a marketing technology, not a moneymaker.
So it's a little hypey right now. It's too early.
Yeah, I mean, Twitter, I mean, even though a lot of their traffic isn't from text messaging, I mean, that is their main cost, besides servers and keeping everything going.
What, Twitter's main cost?
Yeah, I'm saying they're paying for all those text messages.
Tell me how Twitter's integrated with mobile.
You know, Twitter really is just kind of like a peer-to-peer messaging service. It kind of exploded into something that it probably wasn't really meant to be. I know they started out on a bunch of phone numbers with like 10 or 20 people, but it's not making any money, and I know they have investors, and they have for the long run, and this whole free internet thing going on now, but it's hard to be a free internet player when you still have to pay for text messaging.
Unlike email.
Unlike email, where, you know, if you're paying for bandwidth, you're paying for servers, they have all those regular costs, and they have this bill that'll never go away.
Yeah. Being in the industry, what do you see down the road?
I'm hoping that, number one, the carriers will loosen the reins because they've outdone themselves on the minute plan. So now they're all trying to make money on text messaging, which is really hurting the growth of text messaging in America. So I'm hoping that the carriers will kind of loosen up on their pricing for the text messaging, which will allow more players to come into the market. And companies will realize that it's not going to be the next big moneymaker, just like email isn't a big moneymaker. Email is a communication tool. You know, it's part of your system. A lot of companies don't see it as part of their system yet. They see it as a separate thing that they can exploit and try to make money off, where that is really how you're going to turn off people from it.
Right, but if they make the barrier too easy, then it's going to lose its full effectiveness. You're telling me what's so cool about it is that when you get a text, you see it on your phone and everyone checks their text. But if it became like email and then there was any kind of room for abuse and everyone was coming into it, it would just be another email because you'd have text after text after text.
Well, I'm not saying get easier on the guidelines. I'm saying get easier on the pricing because the guidelines are very strict. You can't get a code without going through a strict approval process with every carrier. As far as spam goes, they have a very strict policy. Any code, if you text the word stop to it and you receive another message and you call Verizon, those people will probably be shut down. It's that strict. They are very adamant about spam on the phones. Even though these little scams come out and stuff, most of those short codes they come from are probably shut down within a day or two. You know, it's not like the World Wide Web. We're on the carrier wide web when you think about it. We're under them. You know, it's Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile, AT&T, all these carriers, Cricket, whatever is around, they're kind of barricading their mobile internet. And there's really nothing that we can do about it unless we started our own free carrier.
Now, just selfishly, let me get back to my idea. I wanted a way to be able to have people access my audio through their phones. And when I saw how easy, like if I clicked on an MP3 and it started streaming through my phone, you don't think this is a realistic way for people with mobile phones to access my audios through their phone because it eats up battery life and because I may be limited with the bandwidth?
I don't even think you're going to be able to get one stream on your phone. If you have a non-smartphone, I don't even know on a smartphone you're talking about.
No, I've got a BlackBerry Storm. It works.
Oh, so you played it from your phone, from
the
browser?
Yeah.
From
I click on the link and it starts playing through my phone.
Plays the whole thing.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Does it play the whole thing? I haven't sat through the whole thing.
I would want to see how far you can get into it. Again, we're talking about you're still only accessible by smartphone to that 10% of the market, which probably, like you said, you already are accessible to them because you can already do it yourself. On these smartphones, they run full web browsers. There's really no need to mobilize your site. It's for the Razors. It's for the Envys. Those are the phones that need to be mobilized. And those are the phones you're not going to be able to stream the audio like that.
I see. Yeah. Those you won't. All right, let's move over to who's making money with mobiles. There's a lot of hype about developing mobile applications, and the app developers are making a killing.
I agree. Depends on, especially in the iPhone store. There are some apps where those guys are making a lot of money. It's definitely going to get saturated, though, just like with everything else. Same thing with the G1 market, the Google phone. There's a lot of apps coming out. The paid market only came out maybe less than a year ago, maybe 6 months ago, and it's already booming. A lot of iPhone app developers are coming over to G-Phone as well. There is money to be made on the app market. It's cool. There's a lot of games. You can always make something new, a gimmick. You know, you can make a viral app.
Let's say someone develops an app, whether it's a shitty app or not a shitty app. Is it easy to get their app included in a store, an application store?
I don't have too much experience with the iPhone store. I know with the G-Phone store, it'd probably be easier than pie. On the G-Phone store, it's more like the internet. You have to be careful. You don't want to download something. You download something, they ask you to put your username and password. You kind of want to think twice. And that's the difference between the two markets, which I kind of like. It's more like a computer. I mean, it's a little more Wild West on the Google market.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hard-to-find seminars.com.
So you like your phone?
I do, very much so, yes.
So tell me and the listeners, maybe listeners who don't have a mobile device or a smartphone like that, what are some of the coolest apps you've got on that phone that you use the most?
On my phone, being that it's open, there are a lot of integration features. On the iPhone, the biggest problem is that you can only run apps when an app is running. So the minute you close that app, it can't respond to the phone at all. With the Google phone, you can actually have an app set up to where it integrates with all the phone's features. So instead of me having to go to the Twitter app and launch to do something, I can just take a picture. With my Twitter app, there's a little menu that came up that says share on Twitter. So it's completely integrated into the phone. I mean, when I miss a call, I can have a list of predetermined text messages come up that I can just click one.
So the Google phones, they've kind of integrated their phone with the internet tighter?
It's not even that. It's open source. You can make a new home screen. My Google phone looks like an iPhone because someone redid the whole home app in the SDK, and you can buy it and use that instead of the default. It allows you not only to use apps for the same, but then you can mark them as the default one so they respond with all the buttons. So someone creates a new dialer app that's much cooler than the standard dialer, and you download it, and then it says, would you like to use this as your permanent dialer? And you could say yes or turn it off later, and it's like a new phone every day.
Okay, what other apps do you use for your phone? What are just some kick-ass, cool apps you've seen that are just awesome, where, you know, you could just get excited about seeing this stuff? What's blowing you away about the mobile phone and apps and market like that?
Well, I thought one of the coolest apps that I had, only because an iPhone could never do it, is a metal detector.
You got a metal detector on the Google phone?
Yeah, because it's got a built-in compass, and a compass can detect variations in metals. It's not a great one, but it definitely works. There's like BitTorrent apps on there. There's apps for IRC.
Explain what a BitTorrent app is.
I don't even use BitTorrent, but it's kind of a way where everyone shares files. I think a lot of people use it to steal content, actually. But, like, the thing with the Google phone is the Apple Store would never allow an app like that. Now, they're very careful on what apps they allow. With the G phone, they don't even care. As long as it's on the Internet, I'm sure they'd allow it on the store.
Really?
There's Pictures X-rated apps that I've seen where you can buy, and there's naked pictures and stuff like that.
Oh, wow. Why don't you think Google wants to monitor it or police it?
I don't know if it's that they don't want to monitor it. I think it's actually a smart decision on their part because I think that they want to keep it real. You know, Apple is one of the most proprietary companies out there with their hardware, software, everything. Google's all your standard. They're in with everybody. And I see it as a very smart move. I mean, you know, you can report abuse and get apps off of the market, but it really more resembles what the true Internet would be. You could make an app to do anything. If you could program it and you had some robot, you know, some of those robots, they have apps to control the robots on Wi-Fi networks. It's pretty much whatever you could imagine, as long as it's in the SDK because it's open source, they'll let you do it. And the apps run in the background, so time I'm getting tweets, they just show up. I don't need to have the text message service because it just shows up in my little window.
Wow, that's cool. Appreciate you taking the time rapping about this. You know, you've given me a more realistic look, and I've kind of had a hunch that maybe the mobile market is a little bit too good to be true to drop everything and go mobile right now. Because I looked into setting up a text list, and when I saw that price, I'm like, I'm not sure about this. And I thought, I don't really care, but I'm not doing any texting. You know, I'm mid-40s. I didn't grow up with texting, and it's no big deal for me to check my email. And I wasn't too sure. I think there's a little hype going on with the mobile market, probably very similar. I don't want to say it was similar to the Internet days.
It is. No, well, the S-curve, just coming around. It's not there yet, and the phones aren't capable of doing what we really want them to do. So it's going to be some time, and there is a lot of hype, really. I love mobile. You should be getting into it. You should be doing the bare thing like we talked about. You know, I feel it's worth it to at least start collecting the numbers. Get your list going. Even if it's 10 cents a message, which is really high, you're looking 20 cents a name, I think that's a pretty good deal. Because in the long run, when it does take off, you want to be ready to go. You know, and when you have that list, you're going to be able to push anything to them.
You gave that concert example. Was that a real client you're working with doing something like that?
Yeah, that's a big demo that we're working on, yes.
All right, cool. Give me another example. Is there anything you can talk about how you're helping companies use text messaging to offer more value?
A lot of what we're doing is setting up tracking for traditional advertising via text messaging. So what we would do is say a company has maybe 100 billboards. We would set up a special system where we would supply them with 100 different keywords. You know, so then they could track which areas are actually performing better. Our whole Sumitex platform has an analytical background that you'll just see, you know, certain area codes, times, IP addresses.
Let's say a company has 100 billboards. You're talking about advertising billboards.
Yeah, the 100 billboards. Then they have 100 different keywords, a different keyword on every billboard.
What's the billboard going to say? You know, to get this, text this?
Some sort of incentive, yeah. It's a billboard has some sort of incentive to get them to text. You know, not only is it for the incentive, but it's also for the marketing team to understand which billboards and which areas are doing better, where is the billboard being seen more.
Yeah, they can measure.
I mean, even in print advertising, there's nothing on the market that you could do that currently with. I mean, email can be spoofed. I mean, a text message from a QR code, it can't. It's guaranteed the accuracy.
Oh, I see, and it's measurable. It's like direct response with your phone.
You know what's happening. Oh, this keyword got 5,000 responses. This one got 200. Let's drop that billboard. Let's try a different one.
All right, do you have a client using this currently, or are you working on it?
I cannot really talk. Yeah, we are
okay,
in discussion. But those are basically the concepts. Yeah.
Okay, so as a measuring device for advertisers, what else? Is there anything else you can share? What you can do for a company? I mean, that's a great one for measuring advertising.
Yeah, that's a big thing that we put right now is the analytical part of it where you can track data. Not only like when we talked about the platform, how you can do an in-depth campaign, like I respond with bands, and then I respond showtimes, and then I get another response, and it gives me all the different times. With our system, you'll actually be able to track, you had 500 people that went and looked at this menu. You had 700 people that looked at this. And you can actually track within your campaign their path and how responsive they are to your messages. and what you're saying, like maybe no one's visiting the upload of a photograph section, or maybe let's try something different. You know, and you could test that all on your campaign. It's a lot of the tracking that we emphasize. There's another example that's being used that we didn't do that I talk about is the Subway. Subway has a simple system where you just go online.
Subway sandwiches,
yes. They did something with a competitor of ours. You go online and you link your credit card to your phone and you set up all your sandwiches online real quick. You have your codes and you know what to text in for your sandwich. So then you go and you text it in and they text you back when your sandwich is going to be ready at what location.
Wow. How's it going?
From what I hear, it's fantastic. You don't even have to pay. You just walk in and pick it up. Everything's billed to your cart and not billed through the carrier. That's the big thing, is getting around the carrier billing.
So they got around it by doing it all set up on the Internet.
No one wants to pay those fees. That thing on American Idol, I mean, they had no other way of doing it to get it instant. But when you're talking about a company, they're all looking to get around that carrier.
Well, they're going to get around it, just like voice over IP is getting around all the phone companies.
Exactly. So this is one of the methods they're using, is they're having you link up your card with the phone number. So, like, you link up your card, they send you a text, you verify it, and then it's all done. And then they know that that's you. There's no way to fake it. So it's not like an email where you could fake you're the person. You just...
For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com. That's the end of my interview on mobile marketing. I hope it's been helpful. If you have any questions, please email me at michael@michaelsenoff.com. If you have a desire to get your website set up for mobile so mobile phone users can go to your website and actually read your content, please contact me at michael@michaelsenoff.com, and I'll lead you in the right direction. Or you can call 858-274-7851.